WDKX Water Cooler. Thank you for those listening online at WDKX.com, in your car, in your office. If you made it in today or at home, we appreciate you.
Yes.
You can find us on all different systems and different ways you can listen to WDKX, but WDKX.com. Frontliners, text in at 678-1039.
Yes, we have a frontliner. Well, Dr. Sean Nelms texted in and said, for those being recruited to serve on Brockport's advisory board, what advice would you give to them to hold Brockport accountable for truly creating an equity framework? Otherwise, they will be used as the token black in the room.
Well, we see what's happening right now, where you have a situation, which is typical when it comes down to diversity and inclusion. You know, what, you know, I'm glad to see Dr. Archie here today, and the fact that, you know, this is the first interview coming to WDKX, the first interview that he's doing across the board on this particular issue. And I know that he can't talk about specifics because as a lawyer, I know what your lawyers are telling you. You know, you want to make sure that, you protect that. But I'll just start off by just saying that, you know, typically what happens is you have a situation where, you know, racism or sexism or homophobia goes on for so long, and then it's accepted as a norm. You get somebody like Dr. Archie in that's trying to, you know, implement that change, hold people accountable, do things to make them, you know, to make the organization want to change and hold them accountable. And then once you start to do that and they see that you're building sort of that rapport with not only the professors and people in power like Gary Owens from HEOP, they will make you want to try to quit by putting you in the basement and, you know, moving your office downstairs. And then when they see that you're going to hold firm and not quit, then they try to do other things that make it difficult for you to stay. And so I want to thank Dr. Archie because I know the number of young people. I've met many of them that you have helped along the way. I know what the work that you've been trying to do or was trying to do at SUNY Brockport. And I know that the system did not want to change. And that's unfortunate for us. But I would say for those people that have been recruited or been called to serve on this so-called diversity board, I would refuse. And the reason why I would refuse, because the system doesn't want to change. Oh. And it's evident that they don't want to change. And you should not go into a system until they actually show and prove through results that they are different. And just by naming a new diversity officer that happens to be black doesn't mean that they want to change. Mm. Just by saying, I've elevated this position to a cabinet position. The only reason why that position was elevated to a cabinet position was because nobody of color was on that board before. So it's all of those things, the systematic things that happen after the fact, that's the problem. But I'll let you go ahead and delve into that if you want to.
Good morning, Dr. Archie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm all right. How about yourself?
Good. There's been a lot of things said about you in the news, and I wanted to give you a chance here at DKX to have the platform to say what you need to say.
Well, first off, I got to give humble gratitude to the mayor and so many of the College of Brockport and the Rochester and the Albany and the Buffalo and the Geneseo and the New York City and the Binghamton and all of the communities that have all stood up and been true witnesses of the work that we've done. And when I say we've done, I mean we, because, again, it must be the work of all of us to really make this effective. For me personally, when I came to the college, I came from an institution out in Texas, and when I left, we were the most diverse institution in the country. Mm. We were the 10th most diverse institution in the world. Mm-hmm. And when I left at a great place. And I say that because those efforts and those great benchmarks of success didn't happen on their own. It happened when we became intentional with saying, with every decision that we make, we will ask ourselves who is missing as an opportunity from the table. Mm. And so when I came to the college, and I have to give kudos to many of the college personnel who are there, who actually were leaders in this work with me. Mm. But specifically, one of the things that I stated is, if you're bringing me here to host a program for Black History Month that are gospel choirs and fried chicken, quitting and Kool-Aid with it, leave me home. Mm. Because that's not going to bring in systemic change. What do our policies state? What do our hiring practices state? What do our recruitment strategies highlight? What is the curriculum in the classrooms that is being taught so that we are making sure that the context of this work is actually bled into what we teach and what we say every day? Mm. Our actions speak so loud that often others cannot hear the words we say. Mm. And so if I'm going to be in this seat and if I'm going to be having a place at the table to give voice to groups and people who have been silenced for so long, then we must come together and make sure that we are all doing our part. It can never be Dr. Archie alone who moves this needle. It can never be the mayor alone. Slavery did not end because slaves thought it needed to end. Slavery ended when people who were not slaves stood up and said, we too say this is wrong. Mm. And uh-huh. So this is how you drive systemic change, not in placating us through giving us a couple of $100 to host a program or a one-day training event or a one-day conference, but it is when we become intentional and digging into the systemic structures that we have created. Mm-hmm. We create them. Mm-hmm. They don't, they're not developed or by happenstance, they just happen. We create these structures. And if we create them, we can change them.
I got to ask Dr. Archie, what was it, don't give all of it. I don't give it all over there now. I want to know what it is that had worked for you in your previous job that you were trying to implement in Brockport that my only concern here is this. You have all the passion that we need for this.
Sure.
The question is, why isn't it being listened to? They hear you, but they're not listening. What's the problem?
Because as I said earlier, CDOs are in name only, right? So for a lot of the institutions, they want to bring in a CDO to say we have one. But when it comes down to actually changing, they don't want to change. And when I went to that meeting and those students stood up and talked about the racist issues that they faced, the sexist issues that they faced, and the homophobia that they faced, and that the only person on that campus that listened to them was Dr. Archie, that's a problem. And you had the president that stood up there and said, oh, well, if there's a problem, send me an email so that I can take a look at it. Well, that's unacceptable because you should already know what's happening on your campus. You know, you had a professor as well as Gary Owens, who has been at Brockport for since like 1979, stood up and talked about the fact that it is worse today than it was back then when he first got there.
Wow.
That's a problem. The system did not want to change.
What I would add to that is that, and this is so humbling, is that the work that we as a college has been recognized. And what I will say that is that as of this past fall, our nursing program, I worked with them and partnered with them to help lead our application for the Higher Education Excellence and Diversity Award, mm-hmm. which is a national award. Mm-hmm. That of all the 63 SUNY institutions, we were the only one to become recognized nationally for doing and breaking the mold when it comes to high impact practices around diversity work. This work was recognized to the capacity that the SUNY system, the University Faculty Senate system, I've been here at the college 2 years, and being there 2 years, I don't know if you know about a lot about the structures of higher ed, but higher ed can be very isolated. Like the administration is one side and then the faculty are another side. Those sides literally rarely come together to have an aligned view on something. I got a call last April from the University Faculty Senate president who provides governance over all of SUNY, and she is over the faculty. And she said, I'm going to make you an opportunity here. She said, this is something that we have never had done before. We've never had a person who's seen as an administration be invited to lead faculty. And because of the work that you've done at SUNY Brockport, because of the leadership that you've done, the partnerships that you've created, the work that we've heard about, not only do we want you to serve on Faculty Senate to help provide feedback and guidance over all of SUNY when it comes to EID, I'd like for you to serve as the chair over all of the equity, inclusion, and diversity initiatives for the state under University Faculty Senate, drafting resolutions to be reviewed by the chancellor to drive systemic change, not just at Brockport. And so serving in this role shows the content expertise and the trust that our system and our college can have if we were allowed the opportunity to push forward. And so again, it really looks at our ability to say we want more than what we've been. And so this is why I think this work was so impactful, why it's so important, not just to our students, not just to the students of color, not just to our faculty, but the work became a work for everybody because that's the leadership that we had and how we made it work as a system and as a college.
Wow.
Absolutely. And, you know, just to piggyback off of that, you know, one of the area CDOs, Dr. Archie, was leading them on a discussion of what types of policies and other things that they can institute at their colleges and universities to drive that change. And so they were also in attendance at this meeting, very, very hurt about what happened. And like, you know, like, what are we going to do? Because now, of course, they're all afraid, right? Now, somebody that can, that's doing the work in driving the change, being recognized on a state level and on a national level for the work, can now be told, okay, well, you're doing a little bit too much. We really wasn't ready for this. You know, we liked the way things are. Then nobody else is going to want to delve into that change to really drive it because they're afraid of possibly losing their jobs.
Wow.
Makes sense.
I had to take a quick break. We'll come back because we've seen it a lot. Yeah. It sounds like a real familiar story. I've heard many times before. We're WDKX, the Wake Up Club Water Cooler. Good morning. WDKX, the Wake Up Club. Thank you for tuning in this morning with the mayor of the city of Rochester, Mayor Lovely Warren. Dr. Cephas Archie is here as well. First of all, I just want to thank you for stopping by, WDKX. I know for folks that may not understand this, in situations like this, I just appreciate you coming up because I know there are certain things you may not be able to talk about. Sure. There are certain things that you cannot delve into. And sometimes the media takes stories and makes what they want of it.
Sure.
Without really understanding what the situation is. So just understand that DKX, we understand where we are. I've talked to enough lawyers. I've talked to enough people to understand that sometimes you just, there are things that aren't said on the air that cannot be said on the air.
But I want to delve into that just a little bit because typically when it comes down to, and I've said this, when it comes down to especially African-American males, the first thing that they go after is the integrity.
Yes.
I'm going to question your integrity. I'm going to question, you know, whether you're right or whether you're wrong. I'm going to make people look at you differently. And so I'm going to put this sort of cloud over you first. Oh, I can't talk about it. But the fact of the matter is you heard the students. He didn't have to say anything.
No, the students
honest. Talked about the racism that they faced. The notes that were left on the billboards. You heard professors talk about it. Mm-hmm. You heard professors or administrators that have been there for years talking about it. And so that's the thing about it. It's like, look, okay, well, we have a problem. Let's do something about it. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me you understand my pain or you hear me. I don't want you to tell me. I want you to do something about it. Mm-hmm. And that's the point that is, for me, the hardest because when I look at it, I see that the first thing they do, question the integrity. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to throw somebody else up there to say, hey, listen, you know, I got this other black friend over here, so I'm really not racist. Mm-hmm. So look at this. But are you going to empower that person to make the difference that needs to be made on this campus or in this organization? Because 9 times out of 10, you pick them because they're going to align with what you want and not with what's best for the organization. Because if they were going to align with what was best for the organization, they wouldn't even took that job.
Mm. Yep.
Because you haven't shown and proven that you're truly about systemic change.
And I got to build on that systemic change. So the structures, the governing structures that we have both at college campuses, on college boards, internal, external, throughout every structure dictate the policies, the regulations, the resources, the supports, the funding, etc. The governing bodies make decisions that impact all of us. Most often our policies weren't written with the poor in mind. Most often our policies and our procedures weren't developed or created with people who are already underrepresented and disenfranchised already. They're established for people who already meet a certain quota or a certain quality of life. And so where are the people and how are we being intentional with saying the people who make the decisions that impact us all must have a seat at the table for groups that are underrepresented? If you want people to support the policies, if you want people to support your procedures and all the regulations you pass, consider them as you develop them so that you're not being reactionary by saying we're passing this law, but you didn't think about how the law or the regulation or the policy that you created are going to actually cause harm to people who are already those that are most vulnerable. And so when you talk about these structures, I ask that we start to look around. Look around at these governing bodies and saying, who's missing? Because this is where the system begins to change. Keep your program. Keep your training. let it be a part of the system that we all have a place at the table that make the decisions that impact the quality of all of our lives. That's change. Don't placate us or don't placate people in general by making us believe that because you give us a small stipend of money, that this is going to drive the systemic change. At the end of the day, the people who have all the power are all majority of one group. Mm-hmm. And so again, when you become intentional and saying we will be more, then this is where we can have change and equity for all people.
Policy. A lot of people say, well, this is the policy. This is what we do, Mayor. You have been mayor for a while now. Mm-hmm. How long does it take to change and implement new policies? Because some of them are outdated.
No, you immediately. I mean, right now, I just talked about the fact that I'm the co-chair, you know, council member Willie Joe Lightfoot, vice president Willie Joe Lightfoot is on the racial equity and leadership training. Now we go through and we're looking at how do we institute things within our organization so that when I move on to the next position or he moves on, that it is embedded within the city's structure, mm-hmm. that these things are important. We're looking at our vision statement. We're looking at the documents that we put out. We're looking at our hiring practices. We're looking at our training. We're also looking at our budget. Is there an equity statement in our budget to say, have we looked at this as a, how does it apply to underrepresented organizations and communities within our city of Rochester across the board? You set that in stone and you have to, as Dr. Archie said, be intentional about it. It cannot just be, we had a discussion about it and yeah, we talked about it.
Or it's under review. Or yeah, it's, we're taking it into consideration. Yeah.
But to add on to that, most often the people that show up to these lovely trainings, most people that show up to these great programs are the people that already get it. Mm-hmm. The people who need to get these services, these resources, these developmental professional development trainings are those that are often not there. And it's because we have not developed this as the expectation of all of us, mm-hmm. but it is only for some of us. And when it becomes the some of us in that smaller circle, it will never drive the system changes that we say we want because it's not a true priority. Sometimes it could be a goal, but it's not a priority. And if you say it's a priority, how are you operationalizing that every day so that it's embedded into all of the structures, all of the operational components of what we do and do who we say we are and also what we say we wish to be? And so this is where you have to look up. We have to stop looking at the small, low-hanging fruit and saying this starts at the functioning core of what we say and who we say we are as an organization, and that's in your structures.
It's through fundamental.
Absolutely.
The fundamental things of and it spreads out and becomes something that becomes a new institution that works for everybody.
We say this and we've made this, we're about diversity. Oh, we're about inclusion. We're about equity. Do you know how many years we've been saying that? When there has been a true priority to say this is what we have a budget, a deficit. The next year that budget is balanced. Things that you want to prioritize and things that you say are the priority of what you as an entity and organization do, you find ways to accomplish them. Mm-hmm. But yet when it comes to matters that impact all, but actually require some of those groups to be willing to share some of that space, we sometimes find we have to schedule that. Let's develop a plan for that. Let's look at 10 years out to see how we can change this. So when you really think about it, our actions say so much. And so as leaders, I charge myself even. I don't remove myself that in everything that I do, I say, what am I doing? And how am I being intentional with saying, how am I creating space? As a male, I recognize my male privilege. So when I walk into a room and I am a room full of men and there is one woman, I make sure that I yield and ask, tell me your thoughts. So that it is intentional with making space and room for the views that are not always spoken and heard from. And so that's when it comes to equity, is even recognizing all of our opportunities of privilege and where we have the responsibility to create and make room for others.
But this is, I mean, it is a conversation. I know we're running out of time, but I just want to get into this. Individually, you do that.
Absolutely.
How do leaders who are in such a high position not sort of realize I need to open myself up to understanding this room isn't that diverse? This world, you know, there's certain situations are not right. We don't have enough representation in the room. That's a personal thing on that leader to recognize. What you just recognized, you recognized on your own. How is it that we have leaders that don't recognize walking in a room and, whoa, we don't have a lot of different people in here. We don't have a lot of different. I need to make sure that I go over here and make sure this lady's okay.
And to add on to that, for individuals like that, how do we help them to see that?
Yeah, they don't see it.
So what I would say about that is that that's how you can tell an organizational structure where diversity is an add-on. So you create the structures first. You decide who you want at the table first. Mm-hmm. Then you say, okay, now that I've invited or thought about who I really want, who's missing now? Diversity must be, inclusion and equity must be at the core, so that as you are beginning to draft these structures, as you are beginning to draft these policies, as you are beginning to decide the outcomes of what you say you want, you are thinking what stakeholders need to be at the table with a voice that can make sure whatever we draft and create, it is successful and beneficial to all the people that it is designed to help. And so this must be the core function. These add-on or we'll do a small, make sure we have a person who is Asian or a person who is Native American. You have to make sure that it becomes a core function of who you are and what you do. So therefore, it's not a second component of what you say, oh, we had diversity afterwards. No, it wasn't in the beginning because it wasn't a true value, as
it
you said.
It wasn't a part of your network to begin with.
It was, and you have to be intentional. It has to be intentional in the very beginning. And as Dr. Archie has just indicated, if you add it on, it's not genuine. Mm. It's not real.
Yeah. WDKX, the Waker Club, wrap up the water cooler coming up in a matter of moments. Thank you for those that text in at 678-1039.
And we have a question real quick. If you are coming into a system, you're coming into a place where you see the environment, you see the climate, and you know that change is needed, where do you begin? Especially, and this is for young people out there that may be just coming into the workforce, just stepping into their position, and they see, whoa, this isn't right. I don't even feel comfortable in here. And you're a black man, a black woman, a woman, whether you're Asian, whether you're Hispanic, how do you even begin the change?
Well, one of the things that I'll add to that is that it starts before you arrive. Mm-hmm. So if an employment firm, if a college, if a school district waits for diverse people to come into the system, to think about what they're going to need for them to be successful, mm-hmm. you have already failed. You have to be preventative and you have to be proactive to say, members of the community who are coming from these many backgrounds will need X before they get here. It is not the duty of the underrepresented groups to get to a place to tell people what they need. Just like you have these resources provided for you every day, just like you have a place to go where you can worship and see people like you, just like you have a place to go get a haircut in a barbershop, just like you got a place where you can go and see people who eat food like you and make culinary dishes and listen to music like you every day, the same resources need to be provided for people who are from different cultures that don't look like you. Mm. And so this is where we must be better, all of us, and not saying, wait until you get here, and when you get here, we'll tell you what you need to be successful, because quite frankly, you'll never come. Because what you'll see is that there is no place for mm-hmm. me there. You've not thought about me. Mm-hmm. So you want me to come, and you want me to work, and you want me to be a part of your community. But the basic needs of what I need to feel like there is a place for me, that I can survive, that I can get the basic things that I need to function, are not. But yet you want me to come there. Yet you want to increase your numbers.
That's interesting. Pick the place where they're ready for you.
Bingo.
And people already, and they do. I mean, with the internet and the internet, people go and they look at who's on the cabinet, who's, you know, where are my professors, who's tenured professors, who's in this organization that are managers that are, you know, heading up these groups. And if I don't see myself there, mm-hmm. then I'm not coming. No. Why am I going to waste my time coming to an environment where I know that it does not want to change and they don't value me or my culture or anything that I may be trying to bring to the table, or they're leaving it up to me to point out the fact that, oh, there's nobody black around mm-hmm. this table. As the CEO of that organization, you need to know.
Yeah.
You need to, well, you should see that.
You can't see that?
On your own. But the thing about it is, it was acceptable.
Yeah.
It was acceptable until it wasn't.
And lovely to build on top of that. So, and I will say that I'm proud of organizational structures who are building upon the brevity of what diversity is. So race, sexuality, gender, faith, veteran status, all of these things that are great. And I had a discussion with an organization recently that talked about, well, we're very diverse, but just not diverse in race. And I said, I understand that. I said, so we have people who are the LGBT community, and I absolutely applaud that. And I think that's great steps in the right direction. Mm-hmm. My one bit of a rebuttal was, if I was to take a photo, the privilege that every person on your organizational structure would have is that they have the privilege of choosing whether they disclose they're diverse or not. Mm. So as an LGBT personnel, as a veteran, often as there are opportunities for you to not, as a, having a person of varying ability or disability, you can choose to disclose that or not. Mm-hmm. People of color will never have said privilege. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. the moment you see me, I am disclosing what and who I am. And so you have to take that into consideration of the privileges that even the groups that are diverse, mm-hmm. there are still differences and distinctions among those groups and privileges that some have that others still will never have. And so it's looking at all of these complexities and say it must be our commitment to get it right.
But if you're not networking and as a leader, you don't know that.
If it's not a true value and priority as a leader, you'll never see it.
Dr. Cephas Archie, thank you for the time this morning. Thank you for popping in. Mayor Lovely Warren, you know that door. Yes. You know, it's always open. Not locked. Oh, that's the way
thank
it is.
You for the invitation.
We need to get into, and it would be a great discussion too, education just from both of your perspectives going forward on changing that on other levels as well. I think a lot, we were talking about an institution of higher level. Same thing happens at an institution where we're talking kindergarten all the way through to high school. And for those that want to go on to grad school and all types of levels of change that need to go on. But, you know, it is quite a pleasure. Quite a discussion today. A lot to look into internally for people that are going to school, whether they're going to work, even in their own household. Mm-hmm. Even in their own household going forward. All right, WDKX, The Wake Up Club.
I just want to thank Dre for always and WDKX family for always creating a safe space for us to have these types of discussions.
Absolutely.
You know, because it's not every community that's have a safe space in the media where they could come and talk about these types of issues. Mm-hmm. So really want to say kudos to all of you for allowing us to come. And of course to Dre, you know, and keeping the vision of this organization alive, because I think that it's very, very important that we have a place where we can keep it real.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate your passion.
And your leadership.
And your leadership. And I know it's not hard because you get a lot of different stuff from different places, but we talk real.
But yeah. I also add, not just your passion, because passion without substance is nothing. Mm. Mm. Your intelligence and your ability to follow through and really lead by example.
Mm. Thank you.
That is one thing that I have to add to, because I know often it'll be said that we're passionate, but what are you passionate about? Mm. Mm-hmm. And so how deep does that passion run when it comes to really thinking about the things that we need to do to become better?
Absolutely.
And so I appreciate your leadership on that, and I got to say thank you.
No problem. Thank you, Dr. Archie, for popping up. You surprised us all.
I got that call. She said, all right, I'm on my way.
1039 WDKX, Rochester, New York. Thank you for making this a part of your day. Good morning.